As I said earlier, our sermon today, our theme is kind of on you. Things are not always as they appear. Frankly, as we look at the text, we realize that it's not just our words that matter. It's not just the outward appearances that matter. It is our actions, actually, that say something. Sometimes our actions that speak the loudest. As I was preparing for this morning's message, I couldn't help but think back to a story I read a long time ago. To Kill a Mockingbird. Not sure how many of you have read it or maybe even saw the movie, Gregory Peck. It was a really good movie. I believe they've done a remake since, but I never saw the remake. The old black and white one with Gregory Peck is great. They don't need to remake it. Just re-release it, maybe. To Kill a Mockingbird was a story with a number of themes, but probably to me, one of the main themes, obviously, it talked about injustice and it talked about the unfairness of racism and all these other things. But to me, one of the themes that stood out, especially as a young man when I read this book the first time, was this idea that you can't judge a book by its cover. Things are not always what they appear. The image that people had, the things that they said, didn't always match with their actions. The story of To Kill a Mockingbird was centered around this young girl. Her nickname was Scout. Scout Finch, last name. Her father was Atticus Finch. He was a lawyer who was eventually called upon to defend this man named Tom Robinson. He was a black man who was wrongly accused of a rather heinous crime of raping a young woman. And then there were some side characters. Bob Ewell, who was the father of the young woman. And then another character who was kind of in the side the whole story, but really if you didn't get him, you didn't get the book. He was Arthur Radley, or as the kids called him, Boo Radley. And as I was thinking about this character, Arthur Boo Radley, it again got me thinking, you know, the actions and the perceptions don't always match. The kids were scared of Arthur. Nobody really talked about Arthur. Even the adults didn't talk about him. He'd become somewhat of a recluse. Everybody knew him. He'd lived there his whole life. He was a native of the town, a native of the neighborhood, small southern town in Alabama. But the fact is he never came out. People never saw him. They just kind of saw shadows of him. He would come out in the dark. He would come out in the night, and he would not really be seen. The kids wondered what was wrong. The kids always thought something nefarious about Boo Radley, thought there was something evil or scary about him. But the fact is Boo Radley was actually a protector. He was a guardian. It turns out in the course of these events that eventually Scout and her friend were attacked one night. Well, when Scout was attacked, it was Arthur Boo Radley who came to her rescue out of the middle of nowhere, out of the shadows, and took on her attacker and saved her life. His actions were very, very different than the perception that young Scout had of him. But that was kind of a theme throughout the book. The father, Atticus, the kids saw him as this stodgy old guy. Well, it turns out that there was more to Atticus than met the eye. He was a man of action. He was a man of character. He was a man of principle. Everything from his standing up to defend an unwinnable case, to defend Tom Robinson in this case against the perception of the people, against the will of the people. Atticus also stood outside of the jail and defended Tom against a mob. Atticus, even at one point, the sheriff has to take down a rabid dog. And just as the dog was getting ready to go wild, the sheriff hands Atticus his rifle and said, "Here, you're the crack shot. You do it." Surprised the kids because none of them had ever seen Atticus have a gun at all. They didn't know what the sheriff was doing, but Atticus took care of things in one shot. And their images were shattered, just like Atticus's glasses were on the ground. You can go throughout that book and see character after character, whether it's Boo Radley or Tom Robinson or Atticus Finch or even Scout or Bob Ewell or any of the other many characters, that this theme of you can't judge a book by its cover runs true. It reminds us that it's not just our words that matter. It's not just our outward appearances that matter, but it is, in fact, our actions. In today's epistle text, St. Paul uses this phrase that's become shorthand, I think, in many churches today. "I can do nothing but proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Well, that's great. But what does that mean? What does that look like? What are the actions that go with those words? Does that mean that I can do nothing but stand up here on a Sunday morning as a pastor and preach? Does that mean that you as church, as the body of Christ, can do nothing but come on a Sunday morning and sit in the pew and listen avidly and then go to Bible class and Sunday school and talk about all this Jesus stuff among one another? What does "I can do nothing but preach Christ crucified" really mean? What does it mean for a church? What does it mean as individual Christians? Sometimes it's the same thing, sometimes it's a little different. In the gospel text for today, Jesus talks about this idea of being freed from the law, being bound to the law. So many times I have heard Christians use the phrase, and I'm going to paraphrase here. I'm sure you've heard it in many ways and many forms. "Oh, we're freed from the law. It's all about the gospel. We just need to preach the gospel. We just need to talk about the gospel. We're free from the law. We're not law people." Well, I think Jesus' words say otherwise. The thing is if all we've got is the gospel, if all we've got is freedom, then we don't have the natural order and the natural gift that God Himself gave us in His creation. The law is a good thing, as the hymn we just sang earlier. The law of God is good and wise. It's a good thing. I want to read to you again from our gospel text. It says, "You are a light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Wow, those are strong words. Jesus obviously wasn't one of these, "Oh, we're all about the gospel. The law doesn't matter. We can put the law aside. It's just about the gospel." Or, "Whoa there, stop that talk. That sounds like law talk to me." Jesus was not one of those guys. He proclaimed the law rightly. Excuse me. Because the fact is without the law, lest we know the consequence of our sin, because We do sin. You and I, everybody, we all sin. We're all broken. We're born into it, and every day we work at it a little more. We proceed. We walk in that sin. Regrettably, we follow Adam and Eve's footsteps. And if we don't recognize the right position of the law, the right position of God's justice and righteousness, we don't recognize our need for the gospel. It is only when we recognize that we are broken, that we can't find God on our own, that we can't succeed on our own, that we understand the sweetness of the gospel and the freedom that it does give. Yes, it does give freedom. Not freedom to be free from the law, but to live in it. Freedom to live within the gospel. Freedom to live within the law. Those are good things, rather than being crushed by the consequence of the law. Jesus says, don't relax these commandments. He's speaking here to people who know God, who claim to have a knowledge of God and have a relationship with Him. But these people are wanting to be free from what God has told them to do. They think by coming to temple on Saturday that it's all fulfilled. They think that by simply giving alms that everything's okay. They think that by being pious and saying their prayers that they're in good standing. But Jesus is telling them, no. If it's all on you, if it's all about your righteousness, then you've got to do better than even the best. Because frankly, the scribes and the Pharisees and all those guys, they were really good. I know we're all raised learning these Bible stories, and we think of the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees as bad guys. The fact is, they were model citizens. They upheld the law. They upheld the law of God. They upheld the law of the land. They upheld righteousness. They did everything they could to be above reproach. They weren't bad guys. They were very mistaken about who Jesus Christ was. So they did a very bad thing. But the thing is they didn't do anything more heinous than you and I do. We all caused the death of Christ because we are all guilty of sin. And Jesus says, on your own, unless you're going to be better than these guys, unless you're going to be far head and shoulders above the best of the best, you can't even approach the throne of God. That leaves us one of two places: dejected and running away from God, or on our knees in His mercy, on our knees at the foot of the cross. Jesus has come to fulfill the law, not for Himself and not just because it begs to be fulfilled, but Jesus comes to fulfill the law for you, for me. He filled all that righteousness up. He did all that the law commanded. And He gives that to you. So you can claim full righteousness. You can claim full holiness. But that leaves us kind of with a now what? What's all this talk about being a city on a hill? A light, a beacon to the world. Well, the fact is now that we have received the righteousness of Christ through our baptisms, through His Word, through Holy Absolution. Now what? We're not just called to come to the tabernacle and worship. We're not just called to give alms. We're instead called to be a light to the world. Back in the olden days, before GPS, before any of that, lighthouses had a purpose. A purpose that wasn't just to look quaint and to to be great as a painter's object. Lighthouses had a life-saving purpose. Lighthouses would be set out near the rocks, near the shore, near the treacherous areas for ships. They would have a big light and a mirror behind it to shine it out, and this would rotate out into the sea. And ships in a dense fog or in a storm would see this beacon, would see this light, and it would orient them to where they were. It would help them to avoid the rocks, to avoid the danger, to stay safe and to stay alive. Lighthouses were life-giving, life-saving. We're called to be a light on the hill as a congregation, as individuals. We are called not just by our words, but by our actions to go out there and serve one another, to go out there and proclaim Christ crucified. Whether it be to physically defend someone, like Boo Radley did, to get out there and make a stand for what is right, like Atticus Finch did, or whether it meant to just be a humble friend and a confidant, like each and every one of you is capable of doing. But it does call for us to support the gospel, to support the proclamation of the word, both in the church and in our daily lives as individuals. We are called to be beacons, to be a light on the hill. I could have titled this sermon, "Let Your Light Shine." It's catchy. And I guess that's where it kind of does end up. Here at Emmanuel, here in your life, what does your book say? What do your actions say? I know what your words say. Do your actions say, "I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Jesus. I walk in his footsteps, I walk in his path, I walk in the righteousness that he has given me, and I can say and do no other thing." Because that's preaching Christ crucified. Or does it simply say, like the Pharisees, "I'm a good person. I'm going to pat myself on the back right now. I'm a decent guy. I don't break the law." Are you one to fulfill the law and to walk in righteousness, to serve the gospel and to serve your fellow man? Or are we content just to go along with the status quo? These are questions that Jesus asks. These are hard questions. These are deep questions. These are questions that each and every one of us must answer. So yes, me, you, everybody else, we have our flaws, just like all of the characters in To Kill a Mockingbird had their flaws too. But our Savior, our guide also, didn't. He had it all correct. He did it all correct. Did it for you, did it for me, did it for the world. Let's walk in his light and proclaim him every day, not just through our words, but through our actions. Amen.